about Christian mothers. That is the topic the pastor said I should talk about. What does the Bible mean about Christian mothers? We are going to read certain passages after this definition. The Bible never states that every woman should be a mother. However, it does say that those whom the Lord blesses to be mothers should take the responsibility seriously. Mothers have a unique and crucial role in the lives of their children. Motherhood is not a chore or unpleasant task. Just as a mother bears a child during pregnancy, and just as a mother feeds and cares for a child during infancy, so mothers also play an ongoing role in the lives of their children. Whether they are adolescents, teenagers, young adults, old adults, or even adults with children of their own, while the role of motherhood must change and develop, the love, care, nurture, and encouragement a mother gives can never cease. Amen? I also recognize the fact that 1 Corinthians 4:15, although it refers to fathers, it can also apply to mothers. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers or many mothers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So some people might not have children of their own, but they do have children in the Lord. And as such, they are still parents, they are still mothers, and they are all, the provision of a mother can also apply to them. Amen? Amen. And then finally, there's another definition of mothers. I see that in Psalm 113. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. He grants the barren. We are not only talking of women that give birth with their own physical, becoming a mother physically. It's also talking of spiritual mothers. The mothers in Israel. The mother in the church. So he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. No matter how you look at it, we are all mother one way or the other. Hallelujah. And so we are referring to mothers today and motherhood. So we've seen the different terms of motherhood, not only physically giving birth, but spiritually too, giving birth. Some people labor for you, they pray for you, they are there all the time. Those ones qualify to be called mothers as well. So what does the Bible say about Christian mother? Being a mother is a very important role the Lord chooses to give to just few or many women. Depends on how you term yourself to be. A Christian mother is what we are talking about. A Christian mother is told to love her children. We look at Titus 2:4-5. It said, elderly women, admonish the young women to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. I know sometimes we think love, when you are like the filial type of love, boyfriend, girlfriend, that's no love. By the time you are married, that's when real love begins to develop. The kind of respect for each other, the real love, agape type of love. But you see, the mother's love is not termed as agape. It's called philotenos. In other words, mother's love. The idea that flows out of this word is that caring for our children, nurturing them, affectionately embracing children, meeting their needs, and tenderly befriending each one as a unique gift from the hands of God. Each child is unique, and they are all different. You cannot treat A as B. Each one of them might come from the same womb, but they are as different as the sun and the moon. Sometimes as a star as well. They are all equally different. The characters might also differ. Even their educational background will also differ. Some might be lawyers, some might be teachers, some might be this and that. There was a time I asked a group of teenagers. They were all young. I said, what if you are a good housewife? As many of your husbands are rich, they all swore. We will never be a housewife. It was horrible. I could not convince them because the picture of a housewife here is so bad that no child wants to be a housewife. And I thought to myself, what is a housewife? I didn't have the opportunity. As in my husband was very wealthy, I would have sat home. But I saw one woman in my place of work. There was a day she has one child, a little big, maybe 8, 9, although he's autistic. Then she now had a child later. One day she was weeping. I asked her, why are you crying? She later resigned. She said, you know, my child traveled with my parents and the child is sick. I'm not even there to watch her being sick for the first time. And I'm saying to myself, wow, me, I won't even feel it. But this woman is weeping. Before you realize, a few weeks later, she resigned. She said, I want to go and nurture and take care of my children. And when they are grown up, then I will return to work. Is that not wonderful? That's what it means to be a housewife. Majority of us from other places might not go through because we are all strugglers. But this person is a struggler. I asked her. I said, is your husband wealthy? She said, no. We will manage to raise these kids. You see the sacrifice. That's what they are talking about, nurturing. Praise God. And so we are looking at what a mother is. It says in Psalm 127, 3-5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Even God likened children to the arrows, your military power. If there are no military might, if you don't have weapons with which to fight, there's no military strength. But God likened children to these arrows in the hands of a youth. So children are supposed to be blessings. They are missiles. They are something, a weapon that you can direct and destroy every attacker, whatever it is. It says, let's continue with it. So it's our children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. You know what it means? When your children are around and people are being rude to you, what happens? Your children take up the challenge. Even when you tell them to keep quiet, they say, no, nobody can treat my parents like this. That was arrows in your hand, praise God. Even when you cannot talk sometimes, they know how to speak the English more than you, and they know how to defend you, praise God. There are certain things you can't say and get away with it, but children, they will say it, and truthfully, they will describe you the way you are. If you are an enemy, they'll use a word that will define who you are at that instance, praise God. The mothers and father, you might twist it. A child never twists their tongue. They are straightforward, and they say the real weapon that will destroy whoever it is, praise God, that is destroying their home. Hallelujah. And so children are a weapon in your hand. So the word mother, that's what we are saying, a Christian mother. That's what we are thinking about. And so love is a feeling you learn to feel. For the youth, you feel, oh, the man is tall, handsome, makes my body, no way. That's why by the time you get there, you begin to see the ups and downs, and you start thinking, is this the person I thought I loved? But you see, it says, elderly women, teach the youth to love their husband and to love their children. In other words, love is a feeling you learn to feel. That's why a young lady, when you first meet a man, maybe you don't love him, he keeps coming to your house every day. He will bring a gift. Before you know it, you become his wife. Initially, you said no, but later you marry him. Why? Because it's a feeling you learn to feel. As you begin to see him, you see him in a different light. It might be very ugly. You don't see that anymore. You see the goodness in him. And before you know it, you are married to him. So he's saying, women, elderly women, teach the youth to love their husband. It's not only the physical, it's more than the physical. It's the spiritual as well. You teach them to pray for their home, to take care of their home, to learn. And eventually, they begin to move in love, the nurturing love. Praise God. So love is a feeling you learn to feel. You have to learn it. Sometimes you have to take the Bible. The Bible teaches you to love your home, teaches you to love your husband, teaches you to love your children, and also teaches you to love yourself. Because you can only give out what you have. I'm not talking about the physical, worldly love. That, you know, love yourself to the extent that your body becomes a god. No. This body is a temple. And you have to take care of it as a temple of God. We look at another area. He said there are several things commanded of a Christian woman. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. He says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently, your children, your family. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Not thoughts of work, worries on your mind when you rise. It should be the word of God when you rise. That's why Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your heart. You shall meditate upon it night and day. And what? No, there's something before daring. And observe. It's the observation that is important. When I was a youth, I used to see my first cousin. When the mom is home, she doesn't do anything. Little girl. But when the mother steps out, she'll go and wear the mother's shoe and start talking exactly like the mother. Because the mother gossips so much, you say, hey, Jesus. Exactly. So whatever you teach your child, that child must follow. If you gossip, if you say so many things, whatever you discuss, your children will follow suit. It's like that child. We are always hearing it. They said a child whose father was a drunkard. One day was walking. What happened? The child started putting his feet in the father's footsteps. And the father said, what are you doing? He said, I'm following your footstep. And that is the day the man sobered up and stopped drinking. The same thing with the family. He's saying that your thoughts, when you are sitting down, whatever you say, your children will follow suit. Whatever you teach, they will follow. So in the way, as you are going along the way, don't be talking, that mascot, this is it. No. Is the word of God, because it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's grown up, he will not depart from it. So you are involved, interacting, discussing, thinking, and processing life together with your children. Teaching, the scripture and biblical worldview. We are going to look at Psalm 78:5-6, Deuteronomy 4:10, and Ephesians, although this refers to the fathers. Ephesians 4:9. I'm bringing the father because there are so many homes we have read about. And it's so surprising that in this place, America, it also happens. I was talking to a man. It's late now. He said, my father, my sister, that was a man talking to me. He said, my sister has 6 keys for my father. The father put the girl in the basement. And then the girl was having children for the father. All of them were living upstairs. He said to me, one day, I did not see my sister anymore. The girl disappeared. And I'm saying to myself, what happened? It's either the girl just walked away the day the door was opened, or they killed her. You can never be too sure. The lady was never expected to step out. In this America, around Edison, it happened. The man is late now. He was 80-something when he died. He said when they were growing up. So nobody ever knew. The daughter was put in the basement and she never stepped out. Just having children for the father. But you see, the mother, if she was able to stand up for that child, what happened? It would never have continued. She had a right to call the police to their house. The children also had a right, but everybody kept hiding their family. You don't hide sin. That's why we are saying teaching. Let's see Psalm 78:5-6. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, can also put mothers, that they should make them known to their children. What is the law of God? He says you shall not fornicate. God does not stand for incest. So you cannot hide certain things. You have to speak about it. You have to teach it in your home. And he said that the generation to come might know them, the children who will be born, that they may arise and declare them to their own children. It's what you teach your children will teach to their children. You will discover so many people, they hate their father. They fight with their father. And when they are grown up, they do exactly what their father has done. Although they hated that thing of their mother. Maybe their mother also. Maybe she was so loose. You are someone that means, I don't like that aspect of my mom. It takes God for you to turn away from those things your parents were doing. That's why you need Christ in your life as children. Because when you accept Christ, it says you are a new creature. In other words, the DNA of your parents that were operating in them is broken at the cross of Calvary. So you have no excuse as well. If your father was a drunk, you don't have to be a drunkard. If your mother was a prostitute, you don't have to be a prostitute. Because at the cross of Calvary, there is a transformation. Praise God. So children, you have no excuse as well. Wherever it is, whatever they have done to you in the time past, it's time to go beyond that and become what God has destined you to be. As a child, you have the possibility. He says, I'm a possibility. I'm a child of God. You are a king. You are a king and a princess. So whatever was done in the time past, you can't live in the past. It's time to move forward as children of God. Praise God. So as a mother, it's your position to begin to build that aspect of your child. They have to move forward. Amen? So he said you should declare it. The nation has been sold over to the devil. You begin to wonder Israel, why they were always going in exile. Why were they destroyed in Germany? Because they turned away from the Lord. The whole nation turned away. Look at the time of Daniel. The king's eyes were blinded and they were taken in captivity because they turned away. I started thinking yesterday, what is a generation? By the time you are 80, maybe your child is 50. It's possible, is it? And your grandchild will be about 20 because maybe you had a child by 30. And you start thinking, within the 100 years, how many people have come in? How many generations begin to think? So it wasn't too long after David died. Solomon started deviating. And that's why you see when Moses was talking to them, he says, when David was there, can you people remember how the women he took made him turn away from God? They're strange women. Several women. How can a man have 1,000 women? 300 wives and 700 concubines. How can it go round? How can? You know, this is too much. But let's forget him and think about ourselves. What are we doing wrong? Because they did not teach it from generation to generation. It was too sudden. This is a man that wrote so many psalms. Just the next generation, there was already deviation. And before long, the children of Israel went into captivity. What about you? Who is the God in your life? Is it your hair? Is it clothing? We might start deviating without knowing it. It's time for you to begin to check your life. As a mother, you are not to tolerate those things. You have to correct those things in your children. Teach them so that the next generation will be Christians. They will still be fearing God and being raised in the fear and nurture of God. Deuteronomy 4:10, it says, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. When the Lord, write it down, you read it at home. When the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on earth, and that they may teach their children. God is so particular about your teaching your children. I was surprised when I see some hairstyle, children of 4 years old, the style they put on their head. Some will put multiple earring and nose ring. And I'm saying to my child, these children have no choices in all this. They had no choices. The choices were already made for them, right from childhood. And they grew up like that. There was a time I asked a parent. He put earring there, here. He said, no, it's okay, I like it. I said, no, you have not given this child a choice in life. Because the child grew up knowing all these things. The child, there was a primary school, they did, what do they say when you people are leaving high school? They do, what is it called again? Prom or so. You know, they do it in the primary school too. Some people were leaving KG, and they did it in one of my colleagues' school. And in that school, they were 6 years old or less, because they were now graduating to primary. Do you realize a mother wore a child? It was all see-through. You could see everything. And all other mothers were ashamed. And I said, that child has no choice. Everything was seen. People were ashamed from KG to primary school. What choices are you making? Teach your children. God is particular. Teach your children. And Ephesians 6:4, it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Affectionately bringing up these children the way. And I said in training, let's read what training is all about. To train up a child. He said training, helping a child to develop skills and discover his or her strength. That is in Proverbs 22:6 and spiritual gifts. Romans 12:3-8 and 1 Corinthians 12. It says, for I say, through the grace given me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. When you get home, you are going to read it up to 8. What is he saying? Every one of us has been carved out differently. You don't have to force your child to be what she cannot do. But encourage each child to do something in the house of God. They might sing, some might clean, just anything. This is the house of their father. They don't have to feel too big to serve in the house of God. Every one of us, starting from parents, we have a part to play in the house of God. You can't come here, just warm the bench and go home. No way. That's not why we were created. You are created for a much more beautiful thing. You are created to serve in the house of God. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of God. You cannot send your child to Sunday school and you are home. Then later after church service, you come and pick them up. They are watching you. And they will go step by step what you are doing. Amen? It says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. When they are old, they will not depart from it. We're also talking about discipline. Discipline. Teach the fear of the Lord, drawing the line consistently, lovingly, and firmly. Drawing the line consistently and firmly and lovingly. We spoke about the other family who put the children, who put the daughter in the family way. I also had one other Christian sister, she told me, she said when they were young, their father was molesting all the girls. And not only that, he would tell them, he would say, tonight, every one of them will be afraid because they don't know who is going to choose for that night. He did it to all of them consistently until they grew up. And I'm saying, where is the mother of the house? Mothers, because of marriage, you allow that? No. And fathers, some I also read too, of a woman having sex with a son. The son was feeling so bad. After some time, he felt so bad. He now wrote in all those papers you read, he wrote there and said, I don't know what to do. And they were advising, they were no Christians. And I said, so it's not only fathers, also mothers. When you hear things happening, how do we handle it? That's where there is Christianity, where you cannot tolerate what is bad. You yourself should not do it, and you should not also encourage it. We are Christians because such a thing should not be named amongst us. But in case it does happen, it's time for us to stand according to the biblical teachings. We have the Bible to direct us. We have the Bible to lead us. So we are not only talking of fathers, we are talking of ourselves. What about children that practice it amongst themselves? One of the people I was taking care of, he said he's the only son. He said he was always messing around with all his sisters, and he's the last born. Is that not a shame? And so when the sisters come to visit, you know how I feel? Every one of them, although they were not married, they are in their 80s. But at the same time, it tells you what kind of home. The home should be a place to nurture the children, not a place of incest. We are talking about the Christian woman, the Christian mother. Your place should be a safe haven for your children. You might be a grandmother, you might be a great-grandmother. It makes no difference. That's why we read that we graduate from one state to the other. No matter what it is, we are Christian mothers. Sometimes we were all brought up maybe in Catholic church schools. We were feeling that time because they had no children. That's why they disciplined us so badly. You remember? But they inculcated in you some discipline, which every one of you, if you followed through, you would have been good. But I realized in my high school, when we left that school, so many of them went wide because there was no more discipline like that. And some people turned away. But all the same, the teaching was good. It depends on you as an individual. Whether things were bad or not, you don't have to teach those bad. When you become a Christian, there's a change in you. I feel a change right within me. That's what we sing. So as a child of God, as a mother, you begin to change those things that were not good, that we were taught when we were young. You change it and begin a life. You begin to teach the word of God. Praise God. Discipline. I will look at modeling because I think it's almost time. Almost time. It says modeling with integrity. Living what you say, being a model from which a child can learn by catching, by watching the essence of a godly living. Are you a model? I know Pastor spoke the other time, we're all feeling, it's too hard, but it's true. You are the mirror your child uses to watch life. No matter where you are, no matter what you say, you are the mirror for your child at any point in time. When you are talking, your child is watching you. Even when you are sleeping, they are watching you. They see your reaction, they see everything, and they model. It said, living what you say, being a model from which a child can learn by catching the essence of a godly living. Let's look at Deuteronomy 4:9, verse 15, verse 23, and Proverbs 10:9. And 11 to 13. Psalm 37, verse 18 and verse 37. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Praise God. We discovered that the eye is very important. So what you watch with your children, you sit down in the living room from morning to night, you are watching everything and anything. When you are not there, what happened? Your children will continue. There was a program they showed, like all this family life. You know, when you are taking care of your resident, you walk into it, you see some things going on. They showed a man. They were trying to raise up their son. The man sat down, and the child sat down. He was watching pornography, and the child was there. He said, go away from here, go away from here. The child walked away, and then later, was still watching. So the elderly brother came and said, what are you doing? He said, I drove him away, but the child was right there. In short, he was eating popcorn. The child was taking popcorn and eating, but because he was so engrossed in the whole thing, he didn't know the child was watching. The two of them were eating popcorn together, doing everything. You know, he was so engrossed. My dear, whatever you watch, you are also teaching your child, no matter what it is. So it says, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Because your eye is an inroad. It's an inroad to everything you do. When you see it, even if you don't want to do it, sometimes you are so angry about what you see, but in your dream, it comes back. And the more you think about it, the more you see what happens. You start tolerating it. You start tolerating it. When you go to the beach or when you go along the street, you see people naked. The first time is so bad. Later, you say, there is their generation, isn't it? Before you know it, one day you yourself, you begin to dress somehow too. Praise the Lord. So there are certain things your eye should not see. There are certain things you never tolerate. Keep your eyes, because it's very, very precious. What you see, your mind will begin to think about it. When you take the word of God, you see the word of God, you do the word of God, what happens? It begins to form an inroad in your life as well. Amen? It said, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Beware of idolatry. Deuteronomy 4:15. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. There are certain times we begin to take images. We say, oh, this is the image of Mary. This is the image of Jesus. This is the image of this. There is no form. It says, you shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. You cannot begin to make a form and say, this looks like Jesus. No way. You cannot worship any graven image. At least if somebody brings an image, you won't serve the image. But what about you? There's a lady I know. She's elderly. She should be in her 80s. Anytime you go there, her hair is kept. I cannot tell you how it is. None of her hairs can compare to hers. It's always so neat. But do you know she so values her hair that she does not sleep with her head on the pillow? When she's sleeping, she sleeps 90 degrees. They will put all the pillow at her back so that her hair cannot touch. Because at any point in time, when you see her hair, in short, you must comment, she will be waiting until you say, oh, that's beautiful. And she will smile. That is her God. We are laughing. What is the God behind your doors? What are the things you have made to replace Christ in your life? That is your God. Hers is the hair. It might be dress. It might be any other thing in your life. You know it. We can deceive ourselves, but you cannot hide it from God. You may cover it that no other person may know, but you can't hide it from God. So it's a time for us to begin to think, as a Christian woman, what is that thing? Some people smoke. I was talking to one of my workers the other day. I've been working there for 7 years. I never perceived cigarettes on this man. One night he came near me. I said, do you smoke? He said, ha, you've caught the secret. Even the wife and the children don't know he smokes. He says he smokes outside. He never smokes inside. And he washes his breath. He puts things and all so that the wife, the children, they don't know the man smokes. I only caught wind of it after 7 years. The man smokes. He covers it so well. So what is yours? What is that thing in your life that you must give up as a mother? Because although you don't know, your children, they know everything about you. Your husband might not see the blemishes. The children see it. Your husband might not see it. Your wife might not see it. But your children see more than you think. They watch you. You are the mirror with which they watch life. Amen? Amen. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget. That is Deuteronomy 4:23. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. It might not be a carved image. It might be any other thing. So any decoration as well. I'm just having a prompting. If you have any decoration in your house, carved, please cover them with the blood of Jesus. Break whatever powers they were dedicated to. It might be from Africa. It can be from anywhere. It might even be their deity in the countries it's coming from. So the power behind that deity comes into your home without you knowing it. So you break it. It says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything created is for your pleasure. Therefore, break the power behind them and use it as a decoration. It becomes a decoration. Amen? Finally, nurture. I will look at the word nurture and then I end. I will nurture. It said providing an environment of constant verbal support, freedom to fail, acceptance, affection, uncontrollable love. That is agape type of love. Do you allow the children play? There was a woman that was praying for children. For a long time, she was barren. But her house is so clean, so neat, everything in place. So one day, some children came to play, and she was like, no. And then in the night, God spoke to her and said, that was why I never gave you children, because your home is not for children. Your home is so perfect that I can't bring a child there. The next time she allowed children to scatter everything in her house, break the plate, before you know it, 9 months she was pregnant and she had a child. Her home was too neat for children. She could not tolerate any. I don't touch. And so God kept children away. So what are we saying in essence? That was her God. That was her God. You and I, we do have a God. In the man, Christ Jesus. Yahweh is our God. And how are you taking it? God has given you a gift, a perfect gift in children. You are to raise them up in the nurture of Christ. And so in conclusion, what does the Bible say about Christian mothers? Being a mother is a very important role that the Lord chooses to give to many women. The Christian mother is told to love her children. We read it in Titus 2, 4 to 5. In part, so that she does not bring reproach to the Lord and on the Savior whose name she bears. In Titus 24, it says, the idea flows out of this word, that of caring for our children, caring for your husband. Providing, nurturing means providing an environment where the children can grow up, where they can fail, where they will be accepted. It doesn't mean you encourage your children to fail. No way. Whatever they've done wrong, teach them. Teach them to do the right thing. Don't accept a no. And also, we are told that affectionately and embracing them. But he does say, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's grown up, he will not depart from it. Training up the child does not mean withholding the rod. No way. Praise the Lord. But at the same time, we know the culture we are in. Although the culture is saying don't touch, you realize that your children, anytime they are outside, because you can't touch them, what happened? They misbehave so well. I've seen white men, white women, take their children to the corner and deal with them. When you do it once, that child will not continue in that badness. They will change. Amen? Amen? You can't allow your children go bad in a society that is terrible. You have to produce children that are worthy of the name of your Lord. We remember Lot. What is different from today's society and that of Lot? Where there was incest, where there were homo, you name it, all kinds of things were there. But his two children were virgins. Did they not beat you? That in a terrible situation, in a place where there were so many horrible things, he was still able to raise two virgins. Amen? Amen. So I leave the rest to you. It says, meeting their needs and tenderly befriending each one as a unique gift from the hands of the Almighty God. Each child is different. We have to meet them at their point of need. Training. Helping a child to develop skills and discover his or her strength. We read it from Proverbs 22:6 and a spiritual gift, Romans 12:3-8 and 1 Corinthians 12. Discipline. Teaching the fear of the Lord, drawing the line consistently, lovingly, and firmly. Ephesians 6:4, Hebrews 12:5-11, Proverbs 13:24. 19, Proverbs 19:18, Proverbs 22:15, Proverbs 23, 13 to 14, and also Proverbs 29, 15 to 7. We also spoke about modeling with integrity, living what you say, being a model from which a child can learn by catching the essence of godly living. Your child shall catch the essence of godly living by your way of life. And finally, we said nurturing, providing the environment of consistent, vibrant support. Speak it out. Support your children by words. Speak it. That's why we say communication is very necessary in a home. Whether to your husband or to your children, communication is very important. You have to communicate, not only at work, but with your family. You don't come home to become so tired that all you do is sleep and watch TV. No way. A mother nurtures the children. It says, providing verbal support, freedom to fail, acceptance, affection, unconditional love, agape type of love. That's what God himself has created, that Christian mother should be in the home. Amen? Amen. So that's the end. Praise the Lord.